heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Our Father and our God, as we worship you today, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Boy was asked to recite the 23rd Psalm. He stood before the audience. His memory failed him. And then with the best smile he could have found, he rolled it across his cheeks and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want to know." Today, my friends, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want to know. It is communication morning. Permit me to say that I'm not here to tell you how to do or what to do, but simply to share with you that you cannot give what you do not have. It is literally impossible to give what you do not have. Having said that, we will proceed with the message, internal combustion. The theme, stand up and stand out, is a very profound theme. But I will hasten to say that to stand out is not always outstanding. Or if I were to come here today in a yellow suit with my pink shirt and red tie wearing my green shoes, I would be standing out, but I would not necessarily be outstanding. You can stand out and not stand out for a good reason or for a good purpose. The theme, stand up and stand out, speaks strongly of an attitude of success. But how do we measure success? For some, success is attaining goals and reaching financial prosperity. For others, it is becoming influential, becoming a leader or a mover and shaker to whom people are always keen to listen, being admired, or becoming someone who many others want to emulate. Successful people know who they are, and they stride confidently to meet their goals. If this is what success really is, then Jeremiah was a miserable failure. Can you imagine being a spokesperson for over 40 years, and when you speak, nobody listens? Can you imagine that after consistently and passionately urging people to act for their improvement, nobody budges, nobody moves? This results in frustration, frustration. Jeremiah, my friends, was not much is known about his background, excepting that he was the son of the priest Hilkiah and that he descended from the city of Anathoth. This, however, speaks strongly that Jeremiah had great religious pedigree. It helps us to note that it does not matter how much we know or how religiously equipped we are, it does not necessarily mean we will gain the favor of others. Jeremiah was despised and rejected by friends, by family, by neighbors, and even rejected by hypocritical, ungodly religious leaders. In the midst of rejection and oppression, Jeremiah endured. Many people lack the long-term commitment, caring, and willingness that are critical to sticking with a task against all besetting elements. But Jeremiah was an epitome of endurance and a paragon of persistence. In the midst of persecution and frustration, Jeremiah stood alone, declaring God's message of doom, announcing the new covenant, and weeping over the fate of his beloved country. In the eyes of man, Jeremiah was a miserable failure, but in the eyes of God, Jeremiah was one of the most successful people of all times. Jeremiah's calling by God accentuates how intimately God knows us, because it speaks to the fact that before we were conceived in the minds of our parents or anyone else, we were conceived in the mind of God. For when Jeremiah was called to the prophetic ministry and had doubts about his suitability or capability, God, according to Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God placed a high premium on you before you were a twinkle in the eye or a lyric on the lip. Before your daddy saw your mommy and said, "Hey, good looking, what you got cooking?" God knew you and placed a great value on you. Before your mommy's ovulation and before your daddy reached the point of ejaculatory inevitability, God knew you and he knew how special you are. For if it is true that in the average ejaculate there are approximately 300 million sperm cells, know that if another sperm cell had fertilized the egg, you would not have been you, you would have been someone else. You are here simply because God wanted you to be here. You were not conceived as a result of accident or coincidence. You were designed because God ordained that you be alive today. According to Jeremiah, God planned our lives while our bodies were still being formed. He values us more highly than we value ourselves. This helps us to note that we should be confident. For after God communicated with Jeremiah that he was ordained from the womb, Jeremiah knew that he was already anointed and appointed and validated. He was able to stand because he never needed validation or affirmation from anyone but God. When we are confident about who we are in God, we will know that to be different is not synonymous with being odd. Are you hearing me? When we know who we are in God, we will know that to be different is not synonymous with being odd. Some of us would not dare to be different because we want to be like everybody else. Now, if we were to think about a simple principle, we would understand that mangoes fetch a higher price when it is not mango season. If you are like everybody else, you will not have a high value. If you bend or bow with your morals, with your values, with your Christian virtues, you will not be of the value that God ordained you to be. But we should note that being confident does not mean that there will not be discouragement. Have you ever been at a station where and when serving in the church seemed meaningless, and you wondered if it makes sense to continue? Have you ever wondered if those who lead you really genuinely love and care for you? The telling effects of reality is that sometimes serving in the church seems meaningless, especially when you understand that those who should be of support to you do not genuinely love and care for you. Jeremiah makes it clear or easier for me to accept the reality of this situation of imperfection and the lack of affection, because the heart, according to Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 17, is deceitful and desperately wicked. It may be easy for us to identify with Jeremiah's frustration and discouragement, but we need to realize that this prophet's life is also an encouragement. Realize that this prophet's life is also an encouragement to faithfulness. Permit me at this time say that strength is failing me. I am weak, but when I am weak, the Lord is strong, and His strength is made perfect in weakness. Jeremiah, as he stood for God, he declared that it does not matter what we do or where we go, if we stand for God, God will enable and empower us to carry His will. God will deliver us. God will work with us to communicate the message that He desires for us to communicate. Now, my friends, we should note that Jeremiah faced oppression. Jeremiah faced rejection. Jeremiah faced abuse. Now, we are to note that Jeremiah, according to chapter 20, he faced rejection. He faced persecution from a church leader. The church leader, Pashur. Pashur was the priest. Pashur was the pastor. He faced rejection. He faced oppression simply because he decided to stand for what is right. In Jeremiah chapter 19, verses 14 and 15, we are told, "Then came Jeremiah from Topheth, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, 'Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all the towns all that evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks and they might not hear thy words.'" We understand in verse 14 that Jeremiah stood in the court of the Lord's house. How many of us are willing to stand? Now, to stand, my friends, means to arise, to endure, to establish. It means to repair, to serve, to go forth, to set over, or to set up. That's what it means to stand. If we are going to stand and make a difference, we must note that it is time for God's people to arise. For too long, we have been complacent with being nominal members of the church. Jeremiah was not a nominal member of the church. Jeremiah was not satisfied with being called an Israelite or a Jew. Some of us, we are satisfied with being labeled Seventh-day Adventists. But while we are satisfied with being labeled Seventh-day Adventists, the question may truly need to be asked, are we genuinely Adventists? For who really is an Adventist? If it is that you are not eager or passionate, if it is that you are not welled up with joy as you look forward to the hastening of the day when the Lord will break forth the eastern skies, when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. If you're not looking forward to that day, putting everything else aside, you're not genuinely a Seventh-day Adventist. What is it that dominates your mind? What is it that preoccupies your thoughts? I declare that the experience of Jeremiah is strong enough to remind us that it is not sufficient, my friends, for us to be actively engaged in the preaching of the gospel. It is not sufficient for us to seek to occupy a church office and to come on the platform to parade our intellectual abilities. It is not sufficient. Pashur was a priest. He was a leader in Israel, but still yet he did not want to hear the word of God. There are some people who come to church who want comfortable messages. They like the idea of feeling good. One of the problems that we have today is feel-goodism. Now, if we are plagued with feel-goodism, when the preacher stands before you and declares the undiluted word of God, then instead of adhering to the word of righteousness, you will become a notorious critic of the word of Almighty God. Who is it that you are? Are you like Pashur? Is it that you do not like to hear the admonition of the Lord? Or is it that you really want to hear the undiluted word as coming from the throne of God? My brothers and my sisters, after Jeremiah listened, after Jeremiah was imprisoned, after Jeremiah was beaten, Jeremiah, after preaching the word of God, became disillusioned. He became discouraged, and so he decided to go to God. There are some times when we become disillusioned. There are some times when we become discouraged. At such times, all we need to do is to go to God. There are some times when the elder does not have the answer. There are some times when the pastor does not have the answer. There are some times when the wife, the husband, the mother, the father, the brother, the sister, the friend does not have the answer. But even when you are seeking for answer from everybody else and all else fails, know that Jesus is really the answer. It does not matter what the question you're having, you can go to God and receive the answer. Brothers and sisters, we understand that Jeremiah responded to God's message with human tears. Jeremiah stood boldly. Jeremiah stood, and inasmuch as he reached a point where ministry seemed meaningless, he knew that there was always a word to receive from God. And so instead of murmuring and grumbling, instead of joining the fault finders club, Jeremiah went to God. So while we are to be confident, to be confident does not mean that we will never be discouraged. But even in the midst of discouragement, we need to go to God. And when we go to God, when we search to find the answer in God, it is then that we will know that we are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He will direct our paths. It was when Jeremiah went to God and complained that he discovered that God's word was like a fire shut up within his bones. The Bible declares, "Then I said, I will not make an mention of him or not speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was very weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." So if the word of God became to Jeremiah like a fire shut up in his bones, it means that Jeremiah could not keep still. He could not keep his peace until he communicated what was on his mind, until he communicated what was locked up within his bones. Now the question I ask this morning is this: what is it that is within your bones? What is it that is locked away in your heart? What is your deepest affection? Where is your greatest desire? On what do you meditate? My brothers and my sisters, as I speak about meditation, as I speak about that which we put our affection on, that on which we put our affections, I must say that this world is filled with many distractions. Some of these distractions are very useful if we use them for a good and godly purpose. For example, there is nothing wrong with the internet. There is nothing wrong with the computer. There is absolutely nothing wrong with Facebook. There is nothing wrong with BlackBerry messaging or Twitter tweeting. There's nothing wrong with all of these means of communication. But there comes a problem if it is that we fall asleep on the computer, on Facebook. It becomes a problem if we are awakened by BB messages and we keep on communicating with people and we do not find enough time to spend in and with the Word of God. I must admit, I go on Facebook, I use BlackBerry messages or messaging. But while I go on Facebook, there were times when I happened to be a little bit complacent on Facebook, but I understand that somebody may need a word of encouragement. Somebody may need to know that there is a way out. Somebody may need to know that in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy and that at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So my friends, how is it that you conduct yourselves? Now, it is not only that you should operate in a certain way to share the gospel, but those who network with you should know what you stand for. Just this week, I spoke with a friend of mine who said to me, "You know what, Dane? It is because you're on my contact list that I do not put some things on my BlackBerry status." People should know what you stand for. If you're operating like everybody else, then you will not fulfill your God-given responsibility. If it is that you have the Word of God shut up in your bones, you cannot live without sharing the Word of God. Now my friends, I happen to have seen a badge on different computers. It says Intel inside. Intel is the manufacturer of high quality processors. Now when you see that, you would understand that the computer is made of a good processor. Now my friends, you do not need to go about with a badge saying that you are Christian. But by the badge of your behavior, the badge of your conduct, when people interact with you, when people interface with you, they should know that you have God inside. People should know that about you wherever you go and whatever you do. As I share this morning, I have not forgotten that I'm speaking about the internal combustion. Jeremiah became confident. He became confident because he knew that irrespective of whatever was happening around him, he could go to God. Now, according to what Jeremiah says in this text, he says that the Word of God was like a fire shut up in his bones. Now, this reminds me of the internal combustion engine. Now, when we talk about the internal combustion engine, it speaks of, if you could look at it more closely, I for internal, C for combustion, and E for engine. It is suggestive that it can be abbreviated ICE. All of us, by God's grace, are internal combustion engines. Or maybe I should say we are potentially internal combustion engines. But if the engine is not ignited, we will be like ice, simply cold. We will not be on fire to share the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. if the engine is not ignited, we will not declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. If the engine is not ignited, we will not help sinners to understand that there is the way of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when I speak about the internal combustion engine, we should understand that there are primarily four strokes in that engine, where normally a fossil fuel mixes with an oxidizer air, and for ignition to happen, there needs to be a spark of some kind. There are four strokes. You have the intake, you have the compression, you have the power, and you have the exhaust. Now, for us to be active internal combustion engines, we need to have a daily intake of the Word of God. We need to meditate upon the Word of God daily. So we intake. That is, the piston moves from top dead center to bottom dead center. And there is an intake of air and fuel. And then we move from this stroke to the compression stroke, where the piston moves from bottom dead center and it compresses the fuel and the air as it moves upward. Now, my brothers and my sisters, when we talk about compression, it is more about meditating upon the Word of God. Because there are times when we read the Word of God and we do not meditate upon it. There are times that we know the hard facts and the theory of Scripture, but we do not know how to apply it to our lives. We need to spend time meditating upon the Word of God as we seek to get guidance for our lives. And then when we move from that stroke, we have the stroke of power, where there is an ignition. The compressed fuel mixture is ignited and the piston moves from top dead center to bottom dead center, transmitting power to the crankshaft mechanism, and then it moves again upwardly and the exhaust valve opens and the unused gases are dispelled from the combustion chamber. Brothers and sisters, in studying the Word of God, we will not be enabled and empowered until we meditate upon His Word. We will not be empowered and enabled until we allow the Holy Spirit to ignite us and to illuminate our minds. And even as we are illuminated and empowered, there comes a time when we need to dispel of certain gases within our system. There are certain attitudes that must go. If it is that we are going to effectively communicate the gospel, if it is that we are going to stand out and be outstanding, we have bad habits that need to go. We have bad ways of communicating that need to go. If it is that we are going to stand out and make a difference, we need to understand that what is of critical importance is not so much how many letters there are behind your name, because you do not need to have a letter behind your name in order to proclaim the gospel of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But while I speak in this regard, do not think that ignorance is a tool that God uses, because if you check the New Testament, you will understand that the most prolific contributor to the New Testament was not Peter the fisherman, but it was the well-schooled, well-learned Apostle Paul. Brothers and sisters, it does not matter what you do or where you go. If you are ignited by the Spirit of God, if you have the Word of God as a fire shut up in your bones, you will not be at ease. You will not be at peace with yourself until you share the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is it that is driving you? What is it that is motivating you? What is it that is propelling you? Is it that you are concerned about attaining success? Is it that you are concerned about having a house on the hill? There's nothing wrong with that. I want a house on the hill too. I want to drive a good car too. And I want to have a lovely wife too. There's nothing wrong with that. But most importantly, my friends, I want to be filled with the unquenchable, burning fire of the Word of God, like Jeremiah. The fire shut up in my bones, that even when I do not feel like sharing God's word, I will be compelled, I will be motivated, I will be encouraged to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Brothers and sisters, I do not know about you, but I really want to live like a true Seventh-day Adventist. True Seventh-day Adventist cannot be satisfied with living in this life. True Seventh-day Adventist cannot be satisfied with the condition of our nation, a nation steeped in corruption, immorality, and iniquity. True Seventh-day Adventist cannot be satisfied with hypocrisy. True Seventh-day Adventist know that now is the time for us to be fueled by the Word of God. True Seventh-day Adventists know that now is the time for us to adhere to every word of Almighty God as we live in anticipation for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. True Seventh-day Adventists at this stage will know that it is not about being like everybody else, but being able to stand up even in the midst of adversity, in the midst of persecution, even when your relatives, your friends, or even church brothers and church sisters come against you, to stand and be faithful to God. Because Jeremiah, he was faithful to God in difficult times and in joyful times. Brothers and sisters, I hope that by God's grace, we will have that internal combustion that stimulates and propels us to be faithful and be true Christian witnesses as we share the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you.